listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Kipp and Wayne.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. We're going to start with some Texas geography. So, Wayne, there's something called the Golden Triangle.
And there's, oh, yeah.
Okay, that's Beaumont, Port Arthur, and what's the third town in that? Beaumont, Port Arthur, and what's the third town? You know the third town?
No.
Orange. That's where it looks like.
I'm in Orange right
Orange,
now.
Orange, Texas, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm in Orange.
Representing the Golden Triangle outside of Houston on the Louisiana border, Orange, Texas. Now, I know how it is, man. Some days I'm blue, gray.
I can figure it out. I'm serious.
Man,
I have no idea.
Is your shirt orange?
No, actually, my shirt is pink.
Oh, Lord, I saw the living room there. You might want to. Anyway, well, that's okay. No problems. Oh, there you go. They got your piano back. Very good. Well, anyway, it's the Just Us apartment again this week. Always good to have Just Us and review concepts that we've had with prior guests. Of course, next week we have a special guest, Ann Papayotti. She's an author and life coach. And then after then, we'll have the guy who was supposed to be on here today, Bill Nelson, hopefully.
Oh, great.
Who's the president and founder of Vegas Champ Boxing. So hopefully we'll get him on there and do some fun stuff about boxing. So,
that'd be nice.
Also, Wayne, on June 18th, there's a UFC fight in Austin, Texas. So I'm gonna be in correspondence here real quick with the folks about tickets, and I'll send you a message if you're wanting to go do that.
Oh man, in
June
4 second.
Yeah, God, Austin though, what a crowded place to do it. It's at the Frank Irwin Center. The good news is about the Frank Irwin Center in Austin, Texas, is you can be in the crappiest seat of the house, and you're still better than the best seat in Jerryville. I mean, AT&T. I'll tell you, I mean, it is small, tight circle. Have you been there, Wayne? The Frank Irwin?
No.
You never saw Styx or Spirit or Pat Travers or who would be Neil Diamond? No.
I saw Neil Diamond, but
you didn't see him there.
I saw Neil Diamond when he had black hair.
Hell, the Frank Irwin Center might not have been built yet.
I saw Neil Diamond before you were in school.
It hadn't been built yet. Yeah, that's crazy.
He had just written a song, I Am, I Said.
Okay. No, man, Neil Diamond. There's a couple of Neil Diamond tribute artists out there, and they're doing their thing. So,
listen, my son always said there's two kinds of people in the world.
What's
there's
that?
Those that like Neil Diamond, yeah,
and those who don't, I guess.
Yeah, that's how silly it was. I actually like Neil Diamond.
Well, there you go.
I saw the Four Seasons.
Wow.
When they were, this is when they were just kind of breaking out. I saw them at the University of Illinois, Champaign.
Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, in their little dome center over there. It was big then.
There you go.
That's good. Anyway, I saw Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell.
So that dates me a little bit.
He needed some coaching there toward the end.
Yeah, he did. He
drinking and stuff, some DWIs.
He did. Did you ever, before we get into the show, did you ever hear that song, though, I Won't Know Who You Are, or I Won't Remember You? One of his last songs during his dementia.
Oh, wow.
Well, you ought to look it up on YouTube.
I'll take a look at it.
It'll drag a tear.
Oh, God. Okay. I see.
It's kind of the real deal about when someone has.
All right.
I won't remember.
We won't make light of his.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm going to do this, or I'll do this, or you'll do this, and you'll do this, but I won't know you.
Oh gosh.
You know, and so it's a good song. But he did, listen, he went with Tanya Tucker and they tore a wide strip out of things, and you know, he had a pretty wild thing going on there for being such a good old Oklahoma boy coming from, you know. But that leads you to one thing about coaching and counseling.
What's that, Wayne?
Well, you know, we all make decisions. Every day we have to make decisions. And we can make wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. But big things, we have to be careful because they can have an everlasting effect on our life. You know, that's when, especially you in the counseling, you know, you counsel people, a lot of people that have made those kind of mistakes, and they can get, you know, I'm trying to think of collateral damage, you know, that they cause. I think, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think saying Lynn Campbell would come to anything, but there's a good example. Another one is, what's his name? I love him. Randy Travis. I mean,
yeah. Similar.
You know, a good old boy. But, you know, when you can make decisions that they don't just affect you.
Right.
When they're bad. When they can affect you for the rest of your life and those around you.
Yeah. That's what I need. I need a handler to help buffer my bad choices. If I had a handler like Randy did for all those years, that lady.
Yep.
Wasn't she like 40 years older than him or something? She was something.
Yeah, and Annie sat with him on the first class coming back from Hawaii a long time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Good for her. That's awesome. Yeah. So these decisions you can make. Well, I tell you what, recently though, I have three revenue streams, you know, a consulting, a coaching, and a counseling arm. And just when I think, Wayne, that I'm so big for my britches that I'm going to either greatly reduce or make some of that counseling go away. Planets align themselves to remind me that, nope, you're going to keep doing that.
You know? Yeah.
So I had another one of those moments here earlier this week. So I was like, okay, nope, we're gonna keep on counseling. Yeah, we're gonna go all three channels, and so if something's going and it's working, don't look that gift horse in the mouth and be too good for it. God, I should have known better. You know what I mean? And I was using the lame excuse of being close to 60, and I didn't want to work as hard, and you know. I'm entitled. Now, I'm not talking about, you know me, I'm still going to work, but
yeah,
I was going to cut it back, you know.
I've got questions.
I got questions on that too,
because after last week's talk, I got to thinking. And Bruce, we probably will talk. I got to talk to you after this, like you got to talk to me. Things I want to do to get, I need to ask your advice on some coaching on getting the show on my Facebook as an example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, putting it out. Because I went and somehow or another I got the author that we had on, that beautiful, wonderful lady.
Yeah, Faith Franklin. Yeah, Faith Franklin.
And somehow or another that showed up. That show. And anyway, I messaged it on Messenger to a lot of the people that I know.
Okay.
And I got back a whole lot of feedback. So I want to, you know,
Yeah.
Extend our viewing audience and get those.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I was telling Sam, our station owner, producer, and just overall good man in charge over there. I was telling him that I was behind on the show summaries again. And I was caught up there for a minute, y'all. So please, you know, but anyhow, so I need to do that. And another thing I need to do is catch up our show on our Facebook page, right? I need to go back and start loading them, and I'll start doing that. And then I'll start tagging you in those. And you know what? I'm going to make that my new week's resolution to do that, Wayne.
And, well, I didn't know how to do it, but once I get it, I'll put it in my Facebook.
Yeah.
And tag all my, we're going to get it out there.
So each show, okay, so let's say I post a show and it's Wayne and you and Ryan Regal or you and whoever, and that posting on our Facebook group, I say it's ours, you don't have the login information, and I don't know what it is anymore either. From our prior guest or co-host. At least he didn't run off with it. Thank God. I love him. But as I update that, each show will have its own URL, and then you can tag, and I'll send that to you through a DM, a direct message. Then you can cut and paste that unique identifier, and you can, and that's clean. And let me do all the heavy lifting and all the BS. But yeah, I'll get those to you.
Well, because I think it's going to open up, like you just said about your counseling that you were thinking about back. Yeah. Right, but no, I'm not going to do that. Well, I want to get more involved with my coaching.
All right.
I really do. That's what I've decided. And I just, you know, just so many people out there that, you know, if we're going to Ukraine, that's, you know, we look at that from here and you kind of wonder about World War One, World War Two. We were here and all that was happening there, and it took a long time to get us dragged into it. Yeah. But it did get us dragged into it, both of them. And, you know, that's a serious deal over there. And prices are, you know, people. There isn't anybody that I talk to that I tell that I'm a life coach that they say, boy, I need one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man. I mean, yeah, that definitely, you know, let's talk about that. I'll tell you what we can do. Plus, you owe me lunch. You could bring your laptop to lunch that you owe me. Just kidding.
Yes.
We could do that too. So, yeah, no, man, just we'll definitely get you out. And Lee, since you're so well-known in your, you know, Salamaster organization and brought in current leaders there, and you could coach through them or as a free agent. I'm about ready to take on another free agent assignment for this armored car company, I believe. So that'll be good. And so the individual is going to pay for it, I believe, and not the company. But, you know, either way, it's
yeah.
So yeah, man, I
well, we'll have to discuss this stuff.
Yeah, we'll do discuss.
Yeah. But I was kind of thinking when our guest had to reschedule about us just having the show together today. Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking, Bruce, it's okay to the beginning of the show today. When I mentioned that people can make a decision in their life and they really do the wrong thing. And it's a big, bad, wrong thing.
Okay.
And so... maybe they come. Okay, I'm gonna set the scene up. All right.
Okay.
Whatever they've done, it's a big bad thing.
Okay.
And either their company or they themselves or somebody intervenes and gets them to your office.
Okay.
They get an appointment with Bruce, and this is not a life coaching deal. This is more of probably counseling.
Okay.
But when a person like that they've done I've done a bad thing. How does that first? I don't even know if you can say this stuff. But how does that first session open up?
Good question. So the answer to that question is the person comes in, completes, because this in this case would be full on counseling, they'd complete the clinical paperwork with all the HIPAA guidelines and those things. And as part of that paperwork, they would identify hopefully why they were coming to me, right? Then they'd finish the paperwork. I'd be going over the paperwork and then conduct an interview, kind of an assessment interview of sorts, right? And during that assessment interview, you know, not only do we look at what the person, not only do I look at what the person's presenting with, but I look at other stuff about alcohol and drug use, or are they on medication? How's their appearance? How's their behavior? How's their emotional stability? How's their memory? Are they suicidal? Is their judgment intact? Are they hallucinating? Any things to kind of go into somebody's mental status as they're talking to you. So you can kind of see if there's something else wrong that may need medication, let's say, if that makes any sense. If they're feeling depressed, is the depression impinging on their life that I may need to refer to a psychiatrist? Or are they, you know, if they have negative self-talk, is a negative self-talk to the point that they're depressed or even suicidal? Okay, does that make sense? So that all that kind of take place is the first part of the session. And then we set up goals, counseling goals and ways to meet those goals, and set up a schedule of services, you know, whether that's once a week, once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, once a month, you know, depending on their ability to pay for this. And we kind of go from there. Hopefully that answered your question or some of it.
It does, because I wanted to, for our guests, to compare that kind of to life coaching. And the first time that you sit down with someone that wants to have a life coach, you know, they're interested. I mean, here you are, we're having a first session, or the first visit. You know, it's a little without the legal paperwork, without all that psychological stuff that you do, that you've been trained in,
right?
And you have a degree in. Well, a certified life coach doesn't.
Well, here's let me jump in there. So let's say a person comes in for a life coaching, okay? They get a separate set of paperwork that's more coachy. What are your goals? What are your feelings? What's this? What could you do differently? It's just a different feeling. It's a different kind of paperwork, but it's paperwork nonetheless, right? That asks assessment type questions, but in a way that coaches would ask questions. And so then we go from there to, and I'm way more subtle in my question asking about, I mean, suicide, homicide type of stuff, but I still kind of get to them because sometimes people go to a coach because they want to dodge a counselor or a psychologist or whatever, for whatever reason. So we're not good one. Anywho, but then I have the coaching paperwork, set up the goals. Now, here's the one thing I'll say that's different with me, and it's a good thing and it's not a good thing. With me, I'll still set up, I'll do the goal set and ways to reach the goals, but I'll leave it up to the client to go. If they want to go one session at a time, and that turns it right, that turns into a month, 6 months, a year, whatever, we can do that. What I felt I had done that a lot of coaches do is like, no, it's a 3 month minimum. If you're going to coach with Bruce Cameron, it's got to be for 3 months. That's the industry standard, which it is.
Yeah.
It is. But I felt that, and I'll say that. So look, usually it's 90 days with a significant amount of engagement. But what I'll do for you is we can take this one session at a time, and it goes where it goes. And I think that's more in the spirit of coaching, right? Versus, right, that's really open-ended. Your client is empowered. They have control. First, power membership at Bruce Cameron's coaching gym.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that's different. Now, right, a business developer would say, man, you're shorting yourself, Bruce. You know, obviously, these people sign. You know, sometimes they don't show up, and that's more money you can make. I get it. I just kind of feel bad. I've been in such the habit of pay as you go.
Me too.
I can't think of anything else. Now, that's a problem, right? That's probably why I'm still in this office since 2008. It's 2000.
Well, and listen, I'm over. No,
like comment. That's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
I comment a lot about that, but you know, Bruce, I'll tell you my experience coming to your office is that puts you on a much better relationship to open up the person that visits you. I think that honesty and that human, you know, now if you're dealing with a big corporation, I can understand that contract or that long.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you bet.
But an individual.
Yeah, let me say that right. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that, Wayne. Oh my God. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. Yeah, it's a big corporation and it's a hefty. I'm trying to put in a 500-pound fish in the boat. You betcha. It's gonna be or it's gonna be an engagement letter that specifies the financial outcome of that engagement. Thank you, Wayne, for clarifying that.
But otherwise I would subscribe to your style.
Right.
That's more my style. You know, it's a sermon yesterday. It was going through that, you know, we're not supposed to judge people. And in the Bible, I can't remember all those verses, but he went through, but it never one of them judged. It was like when, after Jesus rose, and even Mary was there, she didn't recognize him because he wasn't the same. He's not human anymore. And and same when he came in the disciples, he was walking with them and talking, but they didn't know it was Jesus until he let them see the scars on his hands and the scar on his side, because he wasn't the same person. He wasn't human. They knew the human Jesus. Oh. And I'm just saying that we're all kind of like that. Here's my pastor, what he said. He said that his kids, one of them, the girl got married, and he was talking to a friend about this marriage. He said, man, he's just a wonderful guy. They've known each other a long time. He graduated from college. He's a teacher or something like that. They're just a wonderful couple, and they're God-fearing. They're good Christians and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, here, let me show you some pictures. And well, just so happened, the guy looking at those pictures, he said, he's black. And pastor said, he is? Oh, my. That's what I mean about judging people. And it's come down to the author of the Stephen Cooley, Dr. Covey, that said, number one, we should seek first to understand
rather than be understood.
Yes. And that's how we, that's what I learned out of that coaching.
Yeah. I think, but
you drill down, you ask questions and listen.
Right. Right. And I'm right. Unless otherwise called upon, you try to be that empty vessel in coaching. You're just trying to understand your client and then ask clarification questions, and your client's giving and giving and giving, if you will, information, feeling, perception, whatever. And you're this empty vessel with no agenda, unless something's just hitting you over the head. And you're like, hey, do you mind if I ask you a question? Something. Wayne, I'm hearing you say a bunch of stuff, and it's really great. But do you mind if I ask you a question? I got, you know, like Peter Falk, Columbo.
Yes.
I just got something in my mind I wanted to ask you real quick if that was okay. And then the client says, okay, theoretically, and roundabout question is as soft as you can do it. So, and then get the clarification that you need. So yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Bruce?
Yes.
So usually, see, that's my favorite statement, even in sales. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
you never, you know what? You don't get
the defensiveness.
You don't get no's when you ask that question. Yeah. Because people are, sure, you can ask the question.
Well, if they say no, they're super defensive.
Your question. And then, you know, it's like, I listened to a tape. This guy's name was Dick Gardner, and he was a sales trainer way back. He's not with us anymore. But he was on a call, and he was like, if we can do this, this, and this, can we do business today? And the guy would say, well, no. And here would be his statement. I'm sure you have a good reason for saying that. Do you mind telling me what it is?
Yeah.
And he would tell him what it was. Well, we're getting new drapes, or we're getting a new car, got a kid's going to college, or
right.
Whatever. Well, I'm sure you have a good reason for saying that. Do you mind telling me what that is? And that was the same thing he kept saying and saying and saying.
Yeah.
It's that drilling down to get to the real deal. Because if I say, can I ask you a question? And you say, of course. And so I ask a floater, like you say, crack open the door and you give me an answer. I still need to ask another question. That's good. Well, yeah. Why do you feel that way? Or why is this? Or why? Right. So that we get down to the real deal that you're there and where you want to go so we can set goals. And I just love that.
Oh, yeah.
That was three questions on a card in one of those classes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I like that. That's a good style, I think. But
no, that is good.
There's for our audience out there, I think as the time goes on, there's room for more coaches. I mean, they're really, but you want to dedicate, you know, I took that course, but Bruce, that did not give me the credibility to go out and start coaching people. Really, it didn't. It what gives you that is working with people in other fields, listening to other, learning, being mentored. Being a friend of yours has helped me immensely and even understanding what it is. And, you know, there were people in this course that wanted to stick together and they had all these aspirations. And I imagine a lot of them don't do it anymore.
Yeah. But that said, there's a Kyle LeCompte. Kyle LeCompte was a kid, 22 years old, been 2 or 3 years sober. And he went through the class. I came up with the brand Recovery Coach Kyle, and he stayed in his lane. He saw people from the ages of 15 and 16 to 1 or 2 years older than him regarding substance use issues, period. Okay?
Yep.
Period. He's a recovery coach. And because he was young and because his lane was fairly narrow and he's young, but you can still have a thriving practice in a narrow lane.
Yeah.
It's along with clients and leads.
See, that's awesome.
I got another young man, 25 years old yesterday, has some kind of, I would say, a criminal record and a recovery background. Well, his lane is that much wider because now he's qualified to talk to people 16 to 30 about recovery issues because he works as a recovery coach in a hospital now. So he's actually doing it as a vocation. He can do it with his, now it's called CLC, we're CPCs, but the Certified Life Coach thing. And then he can add on to it his criminal justice knowledge and their criminal justice procedures as a consumer of correctional services, aka being an inmate or whatever. You don't say I was an inmate, you say I was a consumer of correctional services. Anyway.
Yeah, I got it.
But guess what? How many people in Texas or have been convicted of a felony, faced with a felony, or been in felony trouble? That's a lot of freaking people, Wayne. That's probably four to 11 people in 100 are in that category, fresh or stale, you know, been there. So anyhow, okay. So the meaning of this rant is that, hey, you can be young and you can have a coaching certificate, but just like Wayne and I did, we tapped into our experience base. It just so happens Wayne has 5,000 years experience. That's kidding. I have 4,000 years experience base. No, but all kidding aside, but so that's why I don't turn young folks away from it, but I see where their lane is, right? Yeah. Who can they most frictionlessly and seamlessly offer coaching services to, and then go toward that element at first as they're building their coaching career, if that makes any sense?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I mean, that's the real deal. And I had a young man knock on my door, wanted to talk about Medicare Advantage or something like that. So he came in, he visited me, young man, baby. So just married his sweetheart. Had a just months old baby.
Oh boy.
And then he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. And so we got to talking on the phone a few times. Because he's a good boy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's probably 25, right, maybe.
Right.
He loves sales.
Yeah.
But he wasn't making a lot
of money where he's doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
so you brought him to the light.
Well, I've been he actually texted me the other day, and she's from California, and they went out there to take a break, visit her parents. And he's coming back and he said, I want to pay you. I want some coaching and I'd like to hire you for that.
That'd be good.
Just through.
And now look, you reverse the whip on him, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. But one, he's, yeah. And he's a good boy. He is. He's a good boy. And he just needs to, in this field of sales, he needs to do some studying. And
you know, and something that I would want to do as a personal challenge, we get these guests on here. I've known you personally. As a matter of fact, I think I've learned so much more about Salad Master through the guests. I think I've learned more from them via you than just you, me just knowing Wayne.
Yes.
So I think now it's kind of a dead heat. This is what Bruce knew from Wayne, and this is what Bruce knows from guests with Wayne. And so I have this little meatball knowledge thing. I would love, possibly on paper, the opportunity to get some salesperson. And because I'm your coach. What's your goal? My goal is to sell. Okay. I understand you need to set up shows. Yes. What are the negative thinking blocks, or what are the blocks that you have as it pertains to setting up shows? Well, it's this, this, and this. Can you identify for me the skills that they've given you to set up shows, right? What do you know about that? How does that happen? In a perfect world, how does it, you know what I mean? And then just really, right? This is a narrow lane, brother.
Yep.
And the name of the lane is setting up shows. I love that. I love this. It's not simple, but I just love that as a metric, because you've said time and time again, hey, you set these things up, you set up 100, you're going to close some sort of ratio of 100 shows. And I'm sorry, that's a lot of shows, but you set up 50 shows, you're going to, you know what I mean? More than likely you'll be successful, right? In that. So the idea is getting in front of those people. And I hate to borrow from my bad days at Texas A&M where there weren't any women there. But I mean, I was like, if I just asked 10 girls to dance, of course, it was 0 for 10 for Bruce. But I think it was like some nights it was 1 for 10, I'd get a dance. Anyway, but you know what I mean? I had to ask, you know?
Takes a lot of no's to get a yes.
Yeah, man.
That's why you got to love the no's.
It does, and you just have to, you just have to be resilient. My father, toward the end of his life, he was acting, and he encouraged me to do stand-up comedy and acting. And obviously, I didn't go very far with it, but I remember I was, and my story, and I would go to my dad, I said, I don't even know how you do this, man. I mean, I'm getting turned down, you know, left, right, and center. He says, oh, just either you fit or you don't fit, and you just don't take it personally. But I did get the lead role of a Golden Corral commercial, Wayne.
Oh, my.
It was the primary. I didn't say a damn word. I was reading Shakespeare, auditioning against, like, Ben Affleck. I mean, just for a primary in a stupid I said, man, look, this is a whole lot of work. I think I'm going to go back and get this master's and PhD training. There's a whole lot of work for that. $100, bro. We were up till 3 a.m. I was like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? So when they talk about these starving actors, man, they ain't kidding, man. That first part of it is just a beating. Anyway, but yeah, it took a lot of no's to get to that point. It's taken, I think I've overcome some doubters about opening the practice when it opened, and then going into coaching. Are you some sort of a nut? Remember that, Wayne? I think we had this discussion. People thought we were in like a cult, or we were rubbing crystals, or lost our mind. Are you some sort of a communist pinko nut? Going into coaching? Who the hell does that? What do you mean, life coach? Oh, my God. What do you mean, executive coach? That's just BS. And boy, I tell you, I mean, I was getting, you know, tomatoes thrown and sticks and people that were kind of my friends, you know, and people that my fellow licensed counselors thought I was breaking ranks and thought I was betrayed the field. I'm like, no, there's going to be people that won't see a counselor. They'll see a coach, and I'd rather help people get to a better place. And if I have another vehicle to do that, then so be it. You know what I mean?
So hey, they think you're Bob Dylan going from acoustic to electric.
Now, did you get any pushback, Wayne? When you?
Oh yeah, I got Snickers.
Snickers.
And I'm not talking to candy bar.
No.
Yeah, I got a lot of Snickers. You do what? What? First of all, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And, you know. And so, yeah, you get that pushback. But in the sales field, because that was the lane, it was a little more easy because we coach a lot.
Yeah, you're already doing it. You're just
repeating. So I kind of fit that okay. I didn't get any pushback from people there. Anything outside that don't understand. I quit my job and started selling Salad Master full time. My mother wouldn't even tell anybody what I did. You know, she was ashamed of it.
Thought you were in a cult.
Well, yeah, I mean, just like you can't do that. Yeah, you can't. I'm not, no way, you know. And
I feel like one of those door to door guys. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The Fuller Brush Man, the Rainbow Vacuum.
Yeah. And then I found out that my real father, he passed away when I was 6 months old. But when they were young, I mean, he was young when he passed away. But he had sold cookware for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. I found that out later from my mom, but maybe that's why he was upset with it. She didn't. My dad said, well, he said, that's good. You'll do pretty good at that, and then you'll find a real job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you get those pushbacks whenever you're stepping out of the ordinary and you're not getting insurance and a weekly paycheck.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I was getting guff for being a psychology major. Boy, that's an MRS degree. What are you going to do? Work for Enterprise Rent a Car, sell cars? That's about all you can do with that damn degree. Oh, my God. Meanwhile, I get recruited by the Justice Department as a federal law enforcement officer. Oh, we're so proud of you. No, you're not. Anyway, they were like, all of a sudden now it's all good now. You know what I mean? Oh,
yep,
you're good now.
I mean, I took, I took my mom and my dad both on trips, and
yeah, you take some people on some trips. You're good now. Oh, Wayne, we always believed in you. We believed in you, Wayne. Oh, of course, we're your biggest fans. Really? All I remember was another story. Anyhow, but that, you know, that's the other thing that you have. I think you have the advantage, you know, in that sales sphere. It's like, what would you do if I told you that if I was coaching 5 of your salespeople, I could increase your sales per month to the tune of $10,000 to $90,000 a month? Would you be interested in that? Now, I know that sounds kind of corny, but you're the man to do that with those Southwest folks, hands down. You know what I mean? What would you do if I told you that? That's another one of my Columbo tricks. Like your guy with his, let me ask you a question. What would you do if I told you, what would you say if I told you that I could make y'all whatever? And then what, this is just me. I say, and if, you know what? We'll do this 3-month engagement. And you don't like it? Don't renew. You know, don't think it's a chance. I can really do some good things for your folks. Then that's okay. I don't have that. Now that's not Bruce Cameron, y'all. Please let me look at here. Okay. That's not Bruce Cameron. Bruce Cameron doesn't do sales. That's just Bruce Cameron fantasizing. If Bruce Cameron did sales, I probably should have just left that to you. And, but anyway, sadly, mine is more human casualty type of stuff. I can't go in there and like, you hire me as a coach, we might not have to fire that equity partner and y'all lose $7 million. You know what I mean? We might be able to fade the heat on about 15 civil lawsuits that might be against you in the future, which to the value of millions of dollars, if I think about that now, was undercharging for my services, of course. But that's just kind of a hard sales pitch. You know, you don't want to go in this company. Hey, there's this guy, he's really struggling. I said, yeah, I'll help him get to a better place. Let's see what coaching can do. You know, it's very non-threatening. He can still go to work. He can still, you know, and it's a form of accountability as well as positivity in making incremental changes, which will have a net result of this guy doing better. HR is better. No lawsuits, no union issues if he's a bargaining unit member or other problems. Yeah. So it's just.
I'll tell you, this for our listeners out there, we do have a wonderful field. It's very fulfilling. You know, in some ways, you can't, money can't, you can't put a price on the feeling that you have when someone comes to you here and they go away and they're here.
And another thing that a lot of coaches, even our former Justin Nimmergood, former co-host, wrote a book called Entrepreneurship. He's a Pepperdine DeGrazio School of Business guy. He did his book. That really helped his career. The immediate prior co-host by the name of Neil Williams, great guy, recovery coach, similar deal, took his CPC, had experience, had his lane, is built on his lane. Now he just published a book with his father about letters from when he was in recovery and stuff like that. A very smart, timely, truthful, poignant thing. And this book, and he was able to do book signings at various large churches in the area and other places, and he's done real well for himself. It's helped him really. The book, I think the book, like this podcast, adds yet again another element of credibility, right? So I mean I've done that several times with several coaches and been the co-author of several books that help these, myself of course, and others together as a buddy or ghost writer or ghost editor or whatever, you know what I mean? And the Wayne Fritz sales methods and coaching comes out, and then people can get a taste for Wayne Fritz in the book. But if they want Wayne Fritz, they got to retain Wayne Fritz. But you know, you give away some of your methodologies and secrets and expertise to your readers. Just an idea.
That sounds interesting.
Oh yeah, I mean you're ripe for that. I mean that's a slam dunk, Wayne.
Well,
self-published book. I mean that's a slam dunk.
Let's go to lunch.
Oh, now all of a sudden we're going back to Del Frisco's now, huh?
Yeah.
All right. That's glad I earned it.
You always earn it.
I
all right. This whole hour has gone by pretty fast, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you got any closing thoughts there?
Well, I'll tell you again, you've got to love doing this. You got to love people.
Yeah.
And if you go into doing a field of coaching, you can't go in for the money, mm-hmm. although you can earn money. But if you're just going for the money, believe me, it's like that women's deodorant commercial years ago that they said, never let them see you sweat. Never let them see you sweat. And if you're waiting for a client to come in and, you know, you got to make a payment or buy a grocery,
that's right.
Get out of it. You're not the right. You're not right for the job.
That's right, man.
You've got to have it in the heart.
We got a heart. So, even when I'm on my downtime, I have that ham radio license now, and I'm still talking to people. I'm reading, but I'm still talking to people on a Sunday afternoon on the ham radio, just kind of seeing what kind of equipment they have and what's going on. And it's kind of fun to hear some of these guys, old ham operators out there in their 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Oh, so, man.
It's fun to talk to those guys. They got a lot of experience. I love it. Anyway. Well, folks, that was a fantastic show we had today here on the Concierge Coaches Show. Wayne and I went through some various coaching aspects and techniques and methodologies. So next week we'll have an exciting guest, Ann Papayotti. She is a coach and an author, and I have her book somewhere. Is this it? Well, it's somewhere hiding, but I'll have the book with me next week, so look forward to seeing her. And you can see our show on archived on latalkradio.com. Go to our show, and all of our prior shows are there. MP3s or MP4 video files. Also, we're on Apple Podcast and iHeartMedia as well. We have a Facebook page. I'm going to update our Facebook Concierge Coaches. Our Instagram is Concierge_coaches. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Well, still Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
Perfecto. Yes, sirree. And I can be reached at my site at conciergecoach.net. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great week. Be safe. And we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaching Show. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody. Be safe.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.